My name is Mayor Brian Treese. 6 weeks ago, I came before you to announce our approach to prepare and respond and recover to COVID-19, the novel coronavirus. We committed then to lead with the epidemiology based on data and science and not public opinion or political pressure, to be prepared but not panic, and to show compassion to patients and healthcare providers and persons impacted by COVID-19. And I am so grateful to the individuals and families and businesses for the sacrifice each of you have made to follow the advice and the guidance of our public health department. From families who have sacrificed time away from family and loved ones to both homeschool their kids and telecommute to work, to large companies like Veterans United who have bought thousands of meals from local restaurants and then donate them to serve first responders and nurses and those who may be unsheltered in our community. To franchises like Culver's who delivered box lunches to school children, and small business owners like Dave Johnson and Lori Heckelback at Broadway Diner who prepared and served hundreds of breakfasts and lunches to kids who needed the comfort and the nutrition of a hot meal. We have now met the four triggers that will guide our continued but measured response to coronavirus. Those thresholds for action include, 1, we have a sustained reduction in positive cases for the past 14 days. Last week, Boone Hospital and MU Healthcare stood here and announced that they were able to start treating both COVID patients and those patients who need clinically necessary services without resorting to crisis standards of care. You heard our public health director say the health department now has capacity to do active monitoring and contact tracing. And at the moment, we have the capacity to test all people with COVID-19 symptoms. Here in Columbia and Boone County, we can be proud of the results of our stay-at-home order. While Boone County used to have one of the highest case rates per 100,000, we now have one of the lowest in the state. And while Columbia is the fourth largest city in the state, our incidence of positive cases is a fraction of our peers in St. Louis City and St. Louis County, and it's less than half the rate of the state as a whole. And thanks to responsible and appropriate action early on, we are seeing the results of our efforts. We limited gatherings to 50% of capacity on March 17th. We started drive-through testing on March 18th. We limited gatherings to 10 people or less on March 20th. And on March 25th, the city, along with the county, issued a stay-at-home order. Today, we're able to take a small step forward in our measured response to coronavirus while beginning our economic recovery. Those three key objectives remain: to lead with the epidemiology, to be prepared, and to show compassion. But to do that, we need to do three more things. Without a vaccine and widespread testing, we need to acknowledge that the novel coronavirus is going to be with us for a while. Second, we need to put protections in place so that we can lift restrictions later. And what does that mean? It means we all need to take this time over the next 2 or 3 weeks for individual and corporate actions that put into place those physical barriers, physical distancing, and protections so that we can continue when additional restrictions are lifted later. Finally, we need to preserve and rebuild our readiness while protecting our hospital capacity, healthcare supplies, and personal protective equipment. Keep in mind, the steps that we take today help us do the things that we all want to do later. Under this new extended order, employees who can do so should continue to work from home. When you do go out, wear a mask, or remain physically distant, not only to protect yourself, but to protect others. Vulnerable populations should continue to stay at home unless you're going to a doctor's appointment. And we all need to continue to avoid non-essential travel, especially to areas with high rates of infection. But I want to be clear. We're not out of the woods yet, but thanks to the effort and sacrifice of our families and physicians and nurses and businesses, we've shown we can flatten the curve, and we want these positive results to continue. Now, our order is slightly different than the governor's order that will take effect on Monday, May 4th. The statewide order applies occupancy limits to retail operations only. The city and county's order extends those operating or those occupancy limits to all businesses, including restaurants and churches and gyms. The statewide order relies on social distancing recommendations. Our order still limits gatherings, in this case, to 10 or fewer. And while the statewide order expires on May 31st, this order is a longer horizon with a phased-in response that protects the gains we have made in our community so that we can protect the public health and the economic well-being of Boone County well into the future. And here to explain some of those details for us is our public health director, Stephanie Browning.
Good afternoon. I get all my notes. Okay, so I'd like to begin my remarks by thanking the entire Columbia and Boone County community for you have helped us to flatten the curve. Over the last several weeks, we have been successful in decreasing the number of new COVID-19 cases. And I personally want to thank my staff at Columbia Boone County Public Health and Human Services. They've leaned in, they're growing, and they're just doing a remarkable job, and they make me really proud. So due to everyone's help, I believe we are now at a time that we can re-examine the current limitations that we've been placed on the community. Over the past 2 to 3 weeks, I've heard from many, many members of our community. I've heard from business owners, I've heard from parents, I've heard from employees, I've heard from school superintendents, local government leaders, the list goes on. Many people want me to keep the stay-at-home order in place. They want to keep it as is. They're afraid, and they're afraid that when it lifts, things may be bad. Others want all restriction taken away. I mean, they want to just be able to go and do whatever. So I respect all those opinions and the feedback I heard, and I thank them for providing that. I empathize with those that have been severely impacted financially. It hurts. I see it, and I've met so many people that are going through this. But I also care a lot about those who have been, that have had to deal with this disease. And I don't want, and they've been quarantined, they've been isolated. It's been hard on them too. So what we need is to find a balance, and that's what I'm going to propose. We have to think about the science, we have to think about the epidemiology, and how we can move forward the best way. So while we're not seeing as many new cases in Boone County, there are significant outbreaks to our west, in Saline County, Pettis County, Montauk County, south of us. We still continue to see problems in the St. Louis area. So many of the hospitals, or our hospitals, have 25 to 28 counties that are their like catchment areas. So we monitor all of those, and they are continuing to have cases as well. If you look at our catchment area, our numbers are going up. But here in Boone County, we're doing pretty good. So beginning May 4th, we're going to start our journey to a new normal. And I say new normal because until we have a treatment or a vaccine for the virus, things won't be like they were before. It will be imperative to continue to social distance. As we move forward, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of this. It's the only tool that we have in our toolbox to fight this virus at this time. So today I signed an order for both the city and the county. And they will be up on the website. These are the orders that take the first step in reopening the community. So I'm going to go through some of the highlights of the orders. Retail stores, gyms, and restaurants will reopen as long as social distancing is maintained and they will follow occupancy requirements. For locations with less than 10,000 square feet, they can have up to 25% of the fire code occupancy. For locations with 10,000 square feet or more, they can have up to 10% of the fire code occupancy. So this is a theme you're going to see. Child care services, day camps, they can be open, and the order spells out how those can be open. And we limit the size and we keep stable groups so that kids are staying together in their stable groups. Churches and religious services can reopen as long as social distancing is maintained, and the same occupancy requirements that I talked about for retail would be applied in those settings. Pools can be open, and there's two ways. Pools with an attendant may be open as long as there's social distancing, and the attendant is monitoring that. Pools where there is no attendant cannot have more than 10 people in the pool at any one time, or in the pool area. And before we will open them, we permit pools here in Boone County. So before we open those pools, they'll have to present a plan to us on how to approve on how they're going to do disinfection and monitoring. Businesses which are providing personal care services, such as hair salons, nail salons, massage businesses, etc., they can reopen and they must maintain social distancing to the extent possible. This is one of the sectors that I know everybody wants, but it's really the hardest to do because you cannot be 6 feet away from somebody and cut their hair. So we put some guidance together for those businesses and we'll help them to figure out how to open and do it in the safest way possible. So other than what has been delineated above, public gatherings are limited to no more than 10 people, including both public and private gatherings. Social distancing must be maintained at any such gathering. All retail businesses not otherwise addressed in the order can reopen as long as they maintain their social distancing. There's a theme, right? We are at this time not opening large venues. No movie theaters, no bars. We're keeping the playgrounds closed for now. Spray grounds, those things are going to all be closed for a while longer. So I encourage all high-risk individuals to stay at home and not interact with others except for vital activities such as getting your food or a visit to the doctor. Long-term care facilities must maintain high levels of infection prevention and control, and they must limit visitors, no visitors in those facilities. Finally, all employees who are able to work from home should continue to do so if possible. Like I said, you've heard my theme about social distancing. I implore every citizen to be responsible, to do the right thing, minimize your contacts with others. I ask businesses to make the safety of their employees and customers a priority. This is the first step in loosening the restrictions, as we will have these in place for a while. Well, at least an incubation period is 2 weeks, so the earliest that we would begin looking at the next phase would be 3 weeks, we'll be thinking 3 to 4. 1 to 2 infection or incubation periods plus some. So if we see this curve stay flat, we'll begin loosening up these regulations a little bit more. I have to emphasize, though, if we don't and we start to see a spike, then we'll have to step backwards, and I think that would be devastating. So I'm asking you to please do your part. There will be, before I introduce Commissioner Atwell, on the website, there will be a plan, a roadmap for reopening. So I would urge people to go out and take a look at that. It will give you an idea of the thinking and how we are going to move forward. The orders will be out there. There's a frequently asked questions that goes with the orders. And then we've got developed this week some guidelines for businesses that can help them as they're beginning to reopen, and we'll help them figure out how to do so safely. So I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Atwell, and then we'll take your questions. Let me clean first.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, all the citizens of Boone County. I think your actions have been wonderful in the last few weeks, and without your cooperation, we would not be where we are today. And where we are today, in my opinion, is in a position of great progress. I don't think anyone who follows closely the facts and circumstances of this crisis would expect to simply start anew by just flipping a switch. I think the mayor said it first, this is more like using a dimmer switch than a on and off switch. So the dimmer switch is in play now, and hopefully by monitoring as time goes on, it will be brighter and brighter for us, much like a dimmer switch would work. When this first started, my first thoughts were, this is going to be problematic and we're going to make a lot of mistakes. I really think that while it's been difficult, very few mistakes have been made. And while many people would like a much quicker response and a quicker opening of all things, that's just not possible and it's not realistic. You know, I'm forced to think about what occurred in my earlier life. I grew up at a time when my parents and many others their age had been through the Great Depression. And what did they talk about after many years? They were still talking about the dire straits that they were in and how difficult it was without jobs and without food sometimes. So I'm trying to look at it from the standpoint of what are people going to talk about in 20 years about this period of time? Are they going to talk about how erratic the government was or how carefully the government approached these problems? And I hope it's the latter, and I think it should be. At that time, it was all based on personal hardship, and that may be the theme of this to a certain extent in the future. Also, I was in Japan last October. Thousands of people were preparing for the 2020 Olympics. A big clock in downtown Tokyo was counting down the days, hours, and minutes, and seconds until the start of the games as planned this summer. That's been canceled, of course, and it may not occur in 2021. Italy and other European countries have been through very tough times and are not out of the process and won't be for quite some time. New York City this morning has tractor trailer loads of bodies waiting to be buried or cremated. Sweden tried an attempt to develop herd immunity and has had 10 times more deaths than their neighboring countries. I mention these things because we are not alone in this problem. We should keep them in mind as we form opinions about what's our best solution. There are a couple of extreme approaches to this that I think deserve some thought, because I hear a lot of things from people who are on one end of this idea or the other about what should happen. Some people could have been, well, all people could have been carefully analyzed, and you could have figured out based on age and experience and health status what would be the best thing for each person. Well, we know that's not practical. There's no time for that kind of analysis. The other way to look at it would be, well, this is a free country. Everyone's entitled to their own activities, whatever it might resolve, whatever it might result in. Well, the problem with that is that when it affects you, you expect first responders and medical personnel to give you all the available treatment. In that process, you may infect others who have then the same expectations. This puts an added burden on the system, and it can't be predicted what that would be. So What are the odds that we'll have a second round of this when the students return or about that time? Some say it's guaranteed we're going to have a second round. Some don't know. Many things in this process are just unknown. Where are we now? Well, now we're developing a problem with the food chain. And is that a signal that worse things are yet to come? It's unknown, again. Well, what do we do? Well, actually, not much has been said about this, but the process that we work under is under the state law of the state of Missouri, which establishes the health director in each county as the person who is in charge of making these decisions. And to a certain extent, the mayor and I are a support staff for the director of the health in this county, Ms. Browning. And from that perspective, I think I'm okay about saying that I give my full support to her. She's had to make some of the toughest decisions that anybody could ever be asked to make. But at the same time, we have the right to differ about these decisions. And we do at all levels of state, federal, and local government. And people are going to disagree. That's the nature of our society. But if we look closely at the decision makers, what should we consider? Well, number one, are they qualified? I think you can answer that very quickly and completely with respect to the Boone County Health Department. They are extremely well qualified, and they are prepared to do this, and the whole staff has worked overtime and done unimaginable things to try to protect the rest of us. Another thing is, are they looking out for the best interest of most of the people? And that's a difficult one because in a county of 180,000 people, you're going to have a lot of disagreement about almost anything, particularly the issues that they're dealing with today. And so I think that they are looking out for our best interests, and I would encourage you to give them your support. Another item is, are they fair? Absolutely, without question. They're fair in every respect. And finally, are they grounded in common sense? Again, without a doubt, we've been fortunate to have the health department that has used the best common sense that's available under the circumstances. They're looking out for all of us. Well, patience is in short supply, but progress is being made. The speed of progress is too fast for some and too slow for others. We must try to be patient and believe in our decision makers, even if we don't agree with everything. They are human, and they have the same issues in their homes that we have. And they are trying to do the best for the most people and are dedicated and sincere with tireless efforts. We have only one chance to get this right. There aren't any do-overs. So thank you.
I'm happy to triage any questions or... make some references. Sebastian from KBIA.
Yeah. In the order, it's advised or strongly recommended that high-risk individuals remain at home except for vital activities and that people work from home whenever possible. I know at the federal and state level, coming in to work or not coming into work for fear of contracting COVID-19 isn't a valid reason for unemployment benefits, for applying for those. So for high-risk individuals in Columbia, under this order, if their employer says you need to come into work anyway, is there any mechanism at the local level for them to try to argue that this is a valid reason if they are terminated?
You know, I think ultimately that is between the employer and the business, but I was on a phone call earlier this morning with 250 businesses, and I think they are all conscious of the liability that exists. And that's one of the reasons our city and county health department has provided 50 pages of guidance on those best practices that you can take, not only to protect your consumers and your potential customers, but your employees. That guidance has already been issued to grocery stores. That's why you see one-way lanes. That's why you have people counting customers when they come in the building, wiping down carts. But that also goes to making sure that your employees have the proper equipment, the PPE. If you're on a construction site and four people typically ride in that cab, maybe that means they have to take separate cars to that job site to protect themselves. That's not always possible, but what we're looking for is the ability of businesses to put those protections in place while these restrictions are in place, so that when the restrictions are lifted, those best practices continue throughout the summer. Spencer?
Yeah, so Director Browning had mentioned that we can see hair salons, nail salons, places like that open, and so this question could be for anybody that wants to answer it. But you did mention that those are places where it's probably harder to social distance because you just can't. What are there any specific recommendations those businesses can follow to try to minimize contact, and just what was your thinking in going ahead and letting them open?
Let me answer that first, and there are strict limits on, and I've heard from both operators and salon owners about on both sides of the spectrum about their readiness to get back to work and their trepidation to return to work. Those strict 10-person or fewer limits apply to hair salons, barbers, nail salons. It is anticipated that you'll have one operator per one customer. So if you have five chairs, that would be 10 people. If you have six chairs, you'd have to take one of those chairs out of service. I may ask the director if she wants to add anything in terms of guidance. But I've been so impressed with businesses that are being innovative in how they take care of their customers, from asking their customers to wait in their car until they're called for their appointment to come in for that service. And I think we're going to continue to see that, hopefully, well past the horizon of this order. I don't know if you want to add anything else to that, Director.
Refer to the guidance, even. Okay, that was bad. I should not have done that. Okay, hair salons. So in the beginning, you're gonna see there's a whole bunch of guidance here that's for all businesses. So in addition to the guidelines for all businesses, we would encourage customers to wash and disinfect their hands before entering the salon. The stylist stations should be separated at least 6 feet apart. One person at the shampoo bowl or hair drying area at a time when the 6 feet distance can't be maintained. Stylists are encouraged to refrain from shaving the face, beard, groom, those kinds of services that would require somebody to remove their mask. But we do expect that both stylist and customer would have a mask on. We would suggest that they take books and reading materials and all the things that they have in salons out, so there's fewer touch points, no product sampling, those kinds of things, and you have to obviously wash the gloves, the cloth robes, all of those things, and launder. And if a salon provides beverages, only offer bottled water. So that's an addition to the guide. You can have, what I'm hearing when I talk to some salon owners that have been really thinking about this, is that, like, while you may only have five people working, but say you have 10 operators, some are gonna do shifts, they're gonna have longer days so that everybody gets an opportunity to work. Some have talked about even being open on days they're normally closed. But I've heard some really, really good plans from some of the salons. So I'm confident that they can do it as safely as possible.
Hello. I know you mentioned there was maybe a 3 week that you would reevaluate. I just want to make sure that as of now, it's indefinite and then you'll revisit. Is it 3 weeks? Is that correct? 3 to 4? Just want to make sure.
Yes. So we didn't put an end date on. Our plan would be to watch what's happening with cases. At a three-week level, that would give us an incubation period plus a week, and we'll start to look at that, and then we'll have time if things are going well. You know, so we can either do one incubation period in a week or two, but we'll just start to see what's watching with the cases.
Answer.
So kind of going on the businesses reopening that have previously been closed for this past month or so, for instance, hair salons, nail salons, seeing that people might be eager to get back to these places that they haven't been able to access for a while, will there be any procedures in place to make sure that these places aren't seeing large crowds come all at once right when they open, or will there be any monitoring in that sense?
Again, I think our monitoring has always been complaint-driven, but there's also, I think, I've been impressed with the community response to the social distancing guidelines and the bans on public gatherings, and I think that's going to continue. I don't get the sense anyone's in a hurry to fall back as we continue to turn the dial, as Commissioner Atwell said. And I think it takes all of us, not only with personal responsibility, but I think there's an employer's responsibility there to, you know, at grocery stores or other retail locations, to have a clicker, to have an employee dedicated to making sure that no more than the 25% if you're at 10,000 square feet or less, or 10% if you're over 10,000 square feet, are entering that store or establishment at any one time. I can attest from my email and the public health directors that the complaints that we're getting. And while wearing a mask is not ordered under this, if you cannot maintain that 6 foot of social physical distancing, please wear a mask. It not only protects you, but it protects others.
So obviously we're a few months out still from fall semester starting for local universities, but I was just curious how plugged in you've been in local universities' plans, if you're expecting an influx of students in the fall, and if so, how that will affect the current city guidance.
Absolutely. In fact, it was last week that we met with the three higher education institutions along with Columbia Public Schools so that they could share not only the information that we have with respect to the data, our three hospital systems were there with respect to their capacity, but I will leave it to each of those institutions to announce their plans for the fall. However, I want to applaud the governor for preserving local guidance to adjust to local conditions. For Columbia, those local conditions include the return of about 30,000 students here in August and September. That comes with a unique set of challenges as to how we absorb them into our community, how our retail establishments, bars and restaurants, incorporate them. You heard the university's announcement that they were preparing to safely return to in-person classes in the fall. I think other institutions will have some type of hybrid system of some in-person, instructor to student interchange, and then a combination of online the rest of the days of the week. And I think for some higher education institutions, they just haven't made that decision because they don't know what the facts on the ground are going to be in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
And then I have one more question for Director Browning. Sure. You mentioned the 28 county catchment area for our local hospitals. Do you have any sort of model, any sort of data to go off of in terms of forecasting cases as we see spikes in Saline and Montauk and some other counties in that area?
Well, we do monitor it every day, and we are in conversations all the time with the Department of Health and Senior Services looking at those regions. We have a weekly call with all the directors in those counties. One, to offer any assistance and support, but also just to have some situational awareness of what's happening in those areas. No, I don't have something specific to that, but we're working with our hospitals. Something I didn't talk about earlier is we are working with our hospitals, because as we monitor what happens here and when we can move ahead, we have to look at that larger area. And so Scott Clardy, our assistant director, has been working with the hospitals this last week on basically a new dashboard that we can all use, that we will all be feeding into, so that we're monitoring the health of our system and what's happening with our cases and what's happening in the catchment area. So.
This could be a question for either of you. I've seen several local school districts in our region have announced that they are tentatively planning to have outdoor in-person commencement ceremonies later in the summer. Do you have any specific recommendations for any events like graduations or weddings, and if you recommend they take place or not in our county?
You know, I think regardless of the type of the event, you have to look at the capacity limits that we're putting. And at this point, you know, step one of phase two of this order limits mass gatherings to 10 people or fewer. To follow up on the question, as you begin to look at that case rate and the dashboard that will be available so that everybody can look at the hospital capacity that we have, and as we continue to adjust that, and you can think about how we got into this, limiting it to 50 people or less, and then 10 people or less, if that next obvious step would be 50 people in 3 to 4 weeks, you begin to look at that. But it, you know, at this point, wouldn't be any different than church. And I want to emphasize, church is not open for business this Sunday. We hope to be by Mother's Day next weekend, but that would be with groups of families sitting together with the occupancy limits and with the current provisions that are in place. And I think the same would apply for other events. Keep in mind, we all want to get back to that. But to do that, we have to take these steps first. Anything? Again, more information is going to be available, including the roadmap, FAQs on the city's website at como.gov. Thank you.